word. Let's all stand, take your hymn book 359. Let's sing about those wonderful words of life.
On that first verse.
Much you may be seated. What a joy to be back in God's house tonight. A little different service than normal, and you'll see all of the different aspects of it as we get to hear a little bit from our missionaries. And we're so thankful for what God has done so far for us this week, but also today. And I want you to be in prayer for Miss Sharon Harmon. She'll start chemo tomorrow. She's gonna be there at 7:30, so let's be in prayer for her as she heads over there, and just ask the Lord to bless in a very special way for our sister. And I'm gonna ask Brother Kyle to come and share just a little bit of a report of Junior Church, how that's been going, and then pray for us as we start the service this evening.
Well, praise the Lord. In Missions Conference Week, we've been able to talk about sharing the gospel around the world. And in our junior church hour, the last 2 weeks, we've been able to have a missionary with us each week and do a little interview time and introduce the children to missions and reaching the world with the gospel. But we've also been able to present the gospel in junior church as we do every week. But praise the Lord, last week we saw three professions of faith. And this week we saw two assurances of salvation. And praise the Lord is working not only around the world, but right here in Gray, Tennessee. And we're so thankful for what the Lord is doing in Ridge Kids. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, we thank you that it's so simple that even a child can accept it. Lord, thank you that you love us. Lord, I pray for your hand on this service tonight. Lord, I pray that it would bring you glory and honor tonight. Lord, I pray for these missionaries as they go out from here, Lord, that you give them safety. And Lord, that you just continue to bless them. Lord, I pray that they could get to the field quickly and continue to spread the gospel around the globe. Lord, we thank you for it. And we pray all of this in your name. Amen.
There is peace and contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on the table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. Now push away from the table and look out the window pane. Just beyond this house of plenty lies a field of golden grain, and it's white unto harvest. But the laborers, where are they in the house? Oh, can't the children hear the Father sadly say, my house is full, but my fields are empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field.
Share a word with us, about 5 or 10 minutes, and so he's going to come and share with us. I trust it's a great blessing to you, and I want you to come, brother. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles with you this evening, I want you to take them quickly with me and turn to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. While you're turning there, on behalf of my family, can I just extend to you, church, thank you. I know in a conference like this, there are so many folks that are laboring behind the scenes, people that will not be recognized this side of heaven for all their efforts, but we have been blessed, and you have helped us, and we are eternally grateful for this place, for your pastor, for your vision for the lost, but also for your tender, generous care of my family and I. So on behalf of our family, thank you so much for your goodness to us. I just want to read to you a couple of verses, and this, I'm not going to give you a 3-point outline or anything like that. I'd just like to share a thought with you. If you look in verse number 1 of chapter 1 in Nehemiah, the Bible says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. As we stand on the precipice of the end of this conference, truly what we stand is on the threshold of a new beginning. And Pastor Sexton at Temple Baptist Church used to say that the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. I like that. And we, not only as a congregation, but as individuals, stand upon such a new beginning. Nehemiah has become one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament because Nehemiah is not a prophet. He is not an apostle. He is not like Elijah or Elisha. He does not come to the people with a thundering voice. He is just a man. But he is a man consumed with the work of God. And he has a simple desire to be a part of it. We have heard wonderful things this conference. I don't know about you, but I've been blessed. I've enjoyed hearing Brother Cottle. I've enjoyed hearing your preacher speak. That's the first time I've heard him preach. It was good, preacher. I was not disappointed. Amen. It was good. I've enjoyed getting to meet our fellow missionaries and hear how God is working across the world. And my mind comes to this passage, and I want you, if you're in the habit of marking your Bibles, I want you to mark an expression that we find in verse number 4. When I heard these words. Nehemiah is a slave, albeit a slave well taken care of. He labors in the king's house as the king's cupbearer, and so by default, as being someone present in the king's court, he would have been arrayed in clothing that would have been befitting of someone of the king's palace. He would have been well taken care of in his food and drink and his lodgings. And Nehemiah would have had, can we put it this way this evening, he would have had all the comforts that the world had to offer. But when he heard those words, when he heard of the walls broken down, the gates burned with fire, the course of Nehemiah's life changed. Now, we've come here and gathered together for this conference to speak about God's work in foreign missions, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful that we here in the free world, in the free church, have the opportunity to aid our brothers and sisters across the world that are laboring under tyranny and oppression, and so many that have never heard once a clear presentation of the gospel. But can I ask you this evening, as we prepare and endeavor to go to our mission field, if you would take just a moment, as the song said, to peer outside these beautiful walls and look upon your field, you will find that America's walls are broken down. Her gates are consumed with fire. And maybe the very feelings that Nehemiah felt are home. We are losing her. Now, and this is the thought I wish to give you this evening. Nehemiah was not the only person, he was not the only Jew to receive this report. He was not more talented, more gifted, more skilled. It was not his 4-year Bible college degree that separated him from his brethren. When he heard these words, hear me this evening, folks, he took it personally. God help us. In our country, we have sufficed ourselves to delegate the greatest gift, the greatest privilege, as imperfect vessels to carry the perfect gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those, to our countrymen. How can we, forgive my frankness this evening, but how can we dare sit and say that we are patriots of this beloved country and allow our countrymen to burn and be eternally damned? Now, Nehemiah had no desire to be great. He had no desire to be recorded in the annals of history. He just wanted to secure his home. So in light of what you have heard this conference, in light of the ideas of the lessons taught to us by Brother Caudill out of Lamentations and Matthew, and in light of the lessons that we have seen in the lives of these wonderful folks going to Japan and to Scotland, and in light of the vision that God has given your preacher for a worldwide evangelism, in light of it all, now that you have heard these words, What will you do about it? I'll close with this. Charles Spurgeon was in a college teaching his preacher boys. Man, what a class that would have been, preacher. Good gracious. And he said this. He said, young man, your eloquence, your articulation, your ability to speak, these things are all important. But understand that the sermon does not begin until you make application. And that if all we are just orators with eloquent messages, we have altogether wasted our time here. For what matters is not the doctrinal religious academia that is held in the hearts and minds of our people. It is how they live. And so my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come together one more time before God calls us home, one last chance to affect eternity, as we stand at the greatest time in human history to once more sound forth into the world, Jesus is coming back. And He loves you. Now that you have heard these words, what will you do with them? Preacher.
Think about these things that our brother has given us. Now that we've heard these words, folks, we've heard a lot of things tonight. We've heard a lot of things this week, I should say. We've heard a lot of things over the weeks leading up to this. But may we not get just routinely used to hearing these things. Would you ask for a fresh bother from the Lord? Right now, would you say, Lord, I pray that you'd make me uncomfortable again? Because honestly, folks, it should make all of us uncomfortable that there are millions of people around the world who have not yet heard a clear presentation of the gospel. You say, Pastor, I don't like to be uncomfortable. I don't like to be either, but when something is this bothersome, it really should bother us. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would make us uncomfortable until the whole world knows. I pray that we would stay uncomfortable in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Chris McPike. Or no, Brother Dan, you're going to come and lead us, aren't we? Yes, I got to stay. You put it right here on the schedule. Why don't you stand together? We better follow Brother Dan's orders right here. Go ahead.
587 in your hymn book. 587. Let's sing about Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride.
Verse at this time, we're going to dismiss all kids on a mission. Follow Brother Kyle. That is all those that are 3, 4, 5 years old, first grade through fifth grade. Follow Brother Kyle out. They have the last night of their time together, and we're going to sing that third verse. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did.
Brother Chris McPike, and they're going to get the microphone set up over there. But Brother Chris McPike, we heard from him just the other meeting or other service, I should say. And graduates of Crown College right over here in Powell, Tennessee, on the upside of Knoxville. And wonderfully blessed of the Lord to go on and do something for him. And so I'm going to ask him while they get that set up. Brother Chris, would you just say a word maybe about one last thing you can tell the folks to pray for you about? And then he and his wife are going to sing for us.
Well, thank you again so much. Journeys across the country, trying to raise our support. We'd like to get it raised as quickly as possible. Again, we're praying that by the end of May that we'll be finished with raising our support. So please do keep us in your prayers for
about that. But thank you so much for having us.
Oh Christ, what burdens bow thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed, now there's no load for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed, now there's no load for me.
Death and the curse were in our cup. Oh Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me.
That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings drawn for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings drawn for me. For me, Lord Jesus, thou hast died, and I have died in thee. Thou art risen, my bands are all untied, and now thou livest in me. When purified, made white and tried, thy glory then for me. When purified, made white and tried, thy glory then for me.
Oh Christ, what burdens bow thy head?
Now there's no load for me.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for that. And of course, you know that we've given out mission cards most every service, if not every service. But I'm going to take one more stab at it. Our ushers have our mission cards back there. And I'd like for them just to come down to the front. And you may say, Pastor, I've already got several. Well, I'm taking notes from years ago. Curtis Hudson used to be the editor of the Sword of the Lord. And then Dr. Shelton Smith after that. And every time they got into a meeting, they said, here, take one of these envelopes and sign up for the Sword of the Lord, a Christian newspaper. Well, they did it because it worked. So I want everybody, if you don't have one of these with you, and maybe even filled one out already and dropped in, but if you don't have one with you, if you'd raise your hand up as these men come back through there, and just stick that in your Bible. Men, go ahead and make your way back through there. If you don't have one, please raise your hand. Let them get one to you and stick it as a bookmark. You can do whatever you want with it there. But those are just our faith promise cards. We're going to take those up here in just a little bit. And as I mentioned this morning, perhaps you put one in. You put on there, you're going to give $10 a week, $20 a week, $100 a week, I don't know. You put something in there, but the Lord's been working on you, as he does on all of us from time to time, about certain things. You say, I believe we should do a little bit more. And maybe God would have you do not 10, but do 15. Don't mark 15 on this next one, but just take one and put five more on there, and it'll all go in there. Of course, you know that these are completely anonymous as you tear them off, and we'll take them up here in just a little bit. We're thankful that up to this morning, we are standing at $271,273 committed for Faith Promise over the next 12 months. And so we're so thankful for that. That just allows us to do more for missions. And you know, our church loves it. I'm looking forward to next next week after our missionaries are gone. I want you to be back next Sunday night. Lord willing, I'll show a couple, three videos of some mission projects that we'd really like to get behind in a very heavy way. And so I'd like for you to be here and be a part of. We'll have a business meeting, and that'll be 1 week from tonight. So we'll look forward to all of that. But thank you for having that. Just put that in somewhere so you have it for reference. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Randy Brown, if he doesn't mind, to come on up to the platform. And I wanted both of these guys just to have one more time just to share a little bit with you. And I'd like for him to come and preach to us for about 10 minutes or so and just give us what the Lord has given. And now, in his defense, he won't do bad, but if he does, I just asked him a little bit ago, so it's not like he's had 3 days to get ready, but I want him to just come and share a little bit. I should have mentioned at the beginning of the service, don't forget to pray for Brother Cottle. His wife was going to be here tonight, but he's just had a little bit of a rough day, and so he's still at the hospital, and so she felt like she ought to stay there with him, but I told him that we had a host of folks that were going to be praying for him, and so let's be faithful to lift him up in prayer as the day goes on. So Brother Brown, thank you for being here for our conference. We're excited about him. He's not really that far away. I tell him he's Kyle's neighbor because his RV is parked down by Beacon, which is just around the corner from Kyle and Anna's apartment. And he's been such a blessing to have here. And we're so thankful that he is. And so I'm going to ask him to come and share with us for just a little while. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it has really been a blessing being with you all this week. You know, this is a rare church. Most churches are awesome and friendly to us, but there's the some that just stand a little bit above, and this is one of them. And saying that, we're going to be in Haggai and going to stomp on your toes a little bit. Stomps on mine. And Brother Gall, I really appreciated that. You know, obviously we didn't know we were going to be up tonight. And really what the Lord had laid on my heart follows on a little bit of what he was talking about in Nehemiah. Funny enough, my mind went to Nehemiah saying, maybe I should go there, and the Lord led me to Haggai. Because we've heard some great preaching. I was with the kids on Wednesday night. I heard Brother Cottle really gave a good challenge Thursday night, getting my days mixed up. And I got to hear him on Friday, just wonderful, wonderful challenges. And then Pastor this morning. And we're going to be starting in verse 7. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. And what we see in Haggai here in this passage is this is shortly after they've gotten back into the land from the captivity. And they've been challenged to build the temple. And they got started and they built the foundation. And then people got their eyes off of the work. And for many, many years, they focused on themselves and built their own houses. For time, we didn't go to the first few passages, but it talks about how the Lord's house is waste. And yet they dwell in sealed houses. They took care of themselves first and forgot the work of the Lord. And some of that was discouragement. Some of that was really just some selfishness. And the Lord asked them twice, consider your ways. A church like this doesn't get to be like this because people aren't interested in doing the work of the Lord. But the truth is that I do believe that there is an above average percentage of this church that is involved. But if you were to go across this nation, you're going to find the vast majority of Christians in America are sitting on the sidelines. We're focusing on ourselves. We're building our own houses. And we're letting others do the work. And we've heard a great challenge over and over this week in many different ways about what the purpose of the church is, and that is to build, get the gospel around the world. And really, where does the world start? I've seen many churches. In fact, the church we're going to be serving at in Kakigawa, they have it over their doors. They're leaving, and it says, you are now entering your mission field. Right outside those doors is the mission field. The Lord's given us a task, and He's telling them, those of you who have gotten your eyes off of the task, consider your ways. In our nation, it's one of the hardest things. It's just human nature. We don't like to look at ourselves in the mirror because quite often we won't like what we see. I've been there more times than I'd like to admit, how I've gotten my eyes off the Lord, and yet He's always there and says, consider your ways. Look at yourself. You know what you need to do. You all know what you need to do. You've been confronted with it. You've been preached to, what is it, 240-something years that the church has been here? That is a rare thing indeed, that a church 240 years later is still preaching the same gospel, because this hasn't changed. There is a foundation here. You know what needs to be done. And the Lord gives us the challenge, says, consider your ways. Those who are sitting on the sidelines, those who are not involved in the work, you know what? There's not some big, deep spiritual truth. Look there in verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You know, it's not complicated. Those who are on the sidelines, who are just focusing on themselves, get involved. Go up to the mountain and get wood. You know, how often do we complicate things, and yet the Lord just, He gets right to the chase, doesn't He? There are so many ministry opportunities. I would dare say that if there's a person in here and you're not involved, if you went to pastor, if you went to the staff, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I would assume pastor could find something for you to do. I dare say I've not met a pastor yet that says, oh no, I don't have anything, and there's nothing else that people need to do. A church is not built on the shoulders of a pastor. It's not built on the shoulders of the church staff. That'll only take a church so far. A church is built on the shoulders of the people that are willing to get involved. Buffalo Ridge would not be like it is if there weren't a good number of you involved. But there's no position for sitting on the sidelines in God's economy. Anything less than 100%, consider your ways. And we see there in verse 9, it says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. And it goes on to talk about the heaven being stayed and all the drought he brought. They've done surveys and tests, and 5% of Christians will ever lead someone to the Lord. Doesn't that sound like a drought? If we were to go around and ask and check, and you were honest, how many people in here could raise their hand and say they have fruit to the Lord? Yet it's very simple. If you're not involved, if you're not doing the work of the Lord, guess what? You're going to have a spiritual drought. You're not going to see the fruit. And yeah, you might have checked the box, and you'll be with the Lord in eternity. But how much more could we do for the Lord? How much less shame will we feel when we get to stand before Him and actually have something in our hands? Because it's not about us. Because you know, anything we've done, anything we've accomplished, we get to lay that at His feet. And it'll still not feel like enough, because what did He withhold from us? He gave everything. And He wants to use us. You know, if we had time, we'd continue on, and we see that the people, they got up, and you know what? They didn't get complicated. They just went up to the mountain, they got wood, and they started building. And the Lord sent encouragement, because he doesn't care about the results in the way we care about it. He cares most about the faithfulness of the worker. So if you're in here and you're sitting on the sidelines, Christian, consider your ways. Don't overcomplicate it. Get up and get involved. Brother Gall was talking about our nation going in a direction that none of us want to see it going in. We see this world going to hell in numbers that if you really sat and thought about it, it would change your behavior. Word you said there, Brother Gall, was they took it personal. We have a task that is very personal. How many people in here know someone that's unsaved? Don't raise your hand for this one. But that person you thought of, how many of you in here can think of an unsaved person that you've not one time given them the gospel? I can think of some. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and get wood. That person you can think of that you've never given the gospel, how hard is it to give them a tract, to get involved? If it's less than 100%, it's less than the involvement God wants. Consider your ways.
Amen. These good men have instructed us and made us think, made us contemplate tonight as Nehemiah was, the passage from Nehemiah was looked at. When I heard about the need, when I heard about what was going on, boy, it really got me. Reminds me of what Brother Cottle said, that if it doesn't bother us, it ought to bother us. And then this message from Haggai, instructing us to consider your ways. Another way of saying that is pay attention. Give attention to that. And we've got to make sure our ways are those that please the Lord. I'm so grateful to be a pastor of this church that people have a heart for the world and here locally. You know, we can do one to the exclusion of the other if we're not careful. There are churches that do a phenomenal job locally just with outreach, but they kind of forget about the world. Then there's churches that do a great job sending missionaries around the world, but they don't do anything locally, really not much of anything, have services and hope that somebody comes in just because the sign's out there on the street. But we need to be going around the world. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus said, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And those commands were supposed to be simultaneously. That means we're supposed to be running these yellow buses out here to try to pick up some people around in our area that can't get here any other way. That means we're supposed to be going out and knocking on these doors around here and in the good and the bad and the in-between neighborhoods and telling folks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means we're supposed to be talking to our neighbor and thinking of a way to bring them to church sometime, telling them, if you'd come to church, I'll buy your lunch afterwards and get them here for a Sunday morning service. Supposed to be sharing the gospel with a coworker and saying, listen, I understand we can't do this right now because it's work time, but I'd like to give you this gospel tract. You can read that sometime when we're off, or maybe we can talk about it outside of work hours so that we're not taking from our boss. We've got to do it here, and then we've got the wonderful privilege. I've already dwelt on it this morning. We've got the wonderful privilege of this platform, this vehicle, if you will, of missions here at the church. We can just easily give. Otherwise, we'd have to go find missionaries somewhere and partner with them and vet them and check them and make sure that they stuck with the right Bible and make sure they were right doctrinally and make sure all the things lined up and then give our money to them. But if I could say it like this, it's made easy for us. Because we're trying to do all the work we can to make sure they're good doctrinal, strong, soul-winning, Bible-believing missionaries that are going to do the work here when they're here, but there when they're there. And I'm so thankful that my family, we get to give in that regard. Consider your ways, Haggai said. And then Nehemiah, he got all flustered when he heard about how the situation was not favorable at home. And I challenge you to let yourself get all flustered when we hear about the shape of this word, this world. And I can challenge you to consider our ways when it gets down to the place where we hear about what's going on, the need around this world, and trust that the Lord would move upon us, use us. You say, Pastor, what if we all gave a record amount? Are we going to reach the world by ourselves? We're going to sure try. And whatever God chooses to do with our feeble efforts, we're going to bless His name as He does it. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm thanking You. And as our instrumentalists come, and folks, this will be our invitation time. And I want you to pray. I'd love for some of you to come and pray for these three families. Undoubtedly, you've met one or more of them and interacted with them. And maybe you'll pass them on the way up, the McPikes here, the Browns here, and the other family over here. Just tap them and say, I'm praying for you. Would you stand together if you're able to? And as they begin to play, would you come and pray for some of these missionaries that God would give them favor in the eyes of some pastors as they call, would give them safety as they travel around, and would hasten them to the field. Would you pray for them? Maybe make an altar out of your seat. Just sit there, kneel there. Pray for these families. What if this was your child going off to the mission field? You would love for Buffalo Ridge to be their prayer warrior. They're somebody's child. They're somebody's daughter, son-in-law, grandchildren. Would you pray for them like they were yours? And we'd like to adopt them into our mission family. We'd like to be the ones that stand behind them in prayer. As you pray, maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. The men didn't specifically preach toward that end, but you've got a knocking on your heart's door where you can't describe, but there's something there that is bothering you, that you're not ready for heaven. You're not ready for eternity. Not sure you'd go to heaven. If that's you, would you step out and come? Let us take a Bible. It doesn't matter two hoots what any of us say, but it does matter what the Bible says. And the Bible says that you've got to realize who you are, a sinner. Realize who He is, the Savior, virgin-born Son of God, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And you've got to put your belief, your trust, your reliance on Him and Him alone. If you need help with that, would you come? As they continue to play, you can be seated, everyone, and God's instructed you to come. You're welcome. The altar's open. You please feel free to come. But as our heads are bowed, we're going to take up those Faith Promise mission cards. Many of you are out serving somewhere today, but you've come tonight. You've got that card. You're going to present it. The ushers will come here in just a few moments, and we'll bring them up and tally. And I want to just give you a moment to finalize that, put on there what you'd like to give, what the Lord has laid on your heart to give, and we dedicate that to Him. Ushers, would you go ahead and come forward while everyone's already went ahead and be seated? And they're going to come and just as they make their way up here, if you're filling out that Faith Promise card. In just a little bit, we're going to show a mission video. And so, Brother Jack, if you can just, whenever you get a chance, you can let them know to cut the live stream. And we'll show that here in just a bit. But if you've got a Faith Promise card, would you just fold it in half and give it to one of these ushers as they come? Just pass it to the inside, the outside, wherever it is. Just give one.